Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Looking for more than just a deal? Experience the Legacy difference today at Legacy GMC in Laurel. Score the best prices on brand new GMCs and browse a standout selection of pre-owned vehicles ready for the road. Visit us today on Highway 15 or at LegacyGMCofLaurel.com.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in Hattiesburg. Full crew, D. McKelley and Bob. Glad you're with us. Basketball coach Jay Ladner going to join us here in just a moment. Ted Alexander, who is the play-by-play voice for the men's next opponent, ODU. He'll be on the show a little later. Of course, the Golden Eagles will gut them like a fish this weekend. Jay Ladner joins us. Coach, did you want to comment on that observation I just made?
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Well, how about we just squash them like a bug instead?
They've got a good – I'm going to tell you this. Don't be fooled by the record. And if everybody takes a deeper dive, and I'm sure Ted's going to mention this to you guys. Man, when you talk about – of course, we've had a lot of close losses, but you look at their record too. They're better than their record. And are playing really well here recently. Very talented guard group. Got a big 7-footer. That's a problem. Good player. Probably the best big in the league as far as just a true five. I wish y'all wouldn't say that kind of stuff. But hey, I'm used to it. When y'all had Juan Cardone on there a couple years ago, I spit out my lunch. Okay. And he said we were going to win the league. So
yeah, Jay. I guess you know you could say that about pretty much any team in the Sun Belt, right? That just everybody you know has this jumbled record in the standings. You guys sit currently ninth, but you're only 3 games back from first, which is just crazy when you look at the standings.
You know, Deem, I'm not saying this, you know, of course we have a good time when I get on here and we make jokes and things about it, but in all seriousness, I don't think there's I keep up with it. I mean, Lord, this is my life. But I don't think there's another league in the country as balanced.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying this, we're the best league. I'm not saying that. I think we play quality basketball. Well, I know we do, but I don't think there's a league top to bottom as balanced. And just look at almost every game in the league. I wish there was some type of numerical analysis that you could look at, comparative analysis, and you look at it like how close the games are, you know, games within 10 points, because those games can really go either way. And I mean, last night, ULM lead, they led Troy almost the entire game. ULM's won one league game, you know, and Troy beat them. And in fact, the last shot barely got tipped, or they would have won that ball game last night. And then you flip over to Coastal and James Madison, it comes down to the last shot. So, I mean, that was just a microcosm of kind of what the season's been. And it's really going to be – we've got 3 more games. A few of the other teams have 4 more games. It's going to be who gets hot at the right time. And that's kind of course, what we've been preaching to our guys the whole year, especially when Tavares got hurt, that, hey, we're not – you know, the regular season is important. It's important for a lot of reasons and build momentum and learning and getting better. But the real deal is going to happen here in a couple of weeks in that conference tournament.
Coach, speaking of Tavares, you guys have won 2 out of 3 here lately since you had him back, and 2 good wins, Kent State and Troy. Kind of put in perspective how important this particular kid is to your team.
Well, he's as good as I've ever coached at being able to drive the basketball. And case in point in that was just the other day against Troy, who, of course, is ranked in the top 15 in the latest mid-major poll, has led up until the other day, had was number 1 in the league. And the first 2 or 3 possessions that he – and he's a great rebounder – rebounded the basketball, he out – you don't see this in Division I is why I'm saying this – he out on the dribble is so fast with the ball. He outran them to the other end and laid the ball up. Now he missed a couple of them, but they were, you couldn't draw up an offense to get shots that quality. And of course he made one or two. He can get the ball to the rim as good as anybody I've ever seen at this level, because it's just not easy to do against athletes and the way the defenses are. But what it really does is, because we went about it, Isaac was out for roughly eight weeks and a few days, and where everybody focused, that when Bully Weeks would catch the ball, and I hope we'll get to talk about his second half the other day, but when he would catch the ball, he would have the whole defense, what we call chopper. Everybody's just in gaps and loaded up toward the ball and just didn't have much room to operate. He keeps that from happening. And if we could just Jeremy McClain and I were talking yesterday, he said, you know, if we could just here and there make enough threes, have someone else besides those two, and have enough threes to keep people honest, you know, in Jeremy's words, of course, we got a real chance at this thing. And I'm going to tell you another guy that's unsung that's playing his best basketball, too, is Yahe Benet. He's just a rebounding machine. He goes and gets everything. Great young man. And he's beginning to come around offensively as well. And he's just been a model of consistency here. So, but having Isaac back, just it helps our team in so many different ways. And he's an unappreciated defender. He really, really can defend the ball at a high level.
And Coach, you talked, since you already mentioned it, let's talk about Weeks' second half, just to set the table for the listeners. 24 points in one half the other night.
Actually, Kelly, to correct, he had 30 in one half. He scored 28 of our last 34. He had 2 in the first half and 30 in the second half, and it is the most in a non-extended, you know, through overtime.
Yeah.
You know, just a regulation 20 minutes most since 1971, since a guy named Danny Thornsberry. But it's the most. And Damian Smith was one of those guys, had 31, but his came in over. Not, I don't want in any way to take that away, because that's an incredible accomplishment, but his came in overtime. But you know what I'm really proud, not only, first of all, to get 28 of your last 34, but what I'm really proud of, Kelly, is the maturity of his teammates, and the fact that they knew he was in one of those zones, and they got him the ball. Mm-hmm. They deferred. That doesn't happen a lot these days with today's kids that are kind of, hey, I'm about, you know, I ain't gotten mine yet. You know, he shot enough. Let me make sure I get my shots. But you saw a lot of guys turning down good shots for great shots, and especially when a guy got on a roll. That's what I was most proud of. But probably one of the best single-half performances I've ever seen.
Jay, you mentioned to us all off the air, but I guess, do you want to announce the contract you just signed with Iowa State?
Well, we've signed. Of course, they've signed. We're going to go to – you know, they're one of the top five teams in the country now, and have been consistent. Incredible environment out there, basketball country, Big 12. You know, and you saw it this year. I really enjoy personally playing. I know it's not good for the win-loss record, and it adds fuel to the fire to those of them that are detractors out there, because they don't appreciate that, but I just think that's who Southern Miss is. I think you got to play those kind of games. You got to play the Iowa States. You got to play the, like this year, of course, we played South Carolina and Miami and Ole Miss and LSU. And next year, you're going to see a very similar type schedule in the non-conference. So, you know, we're excited about that, and we were really excited about getting that done, because what'll also happen, I also want to expand our recruiting base into the Midwest. And if we can, and the way you do that is go up there and play and hopefully give a good account of yourself. So, but there's, you know, there'll be preseason top 5 or 10, and it'll, you know, give us a chance to get some national exposure. So, I'm excited about that. And we'll have some, we are in negotiations with some other high profile teams as well that, as if y'all will continue to be nice enough to have me on, I'll update those as we get those done.
Because full disclosure, this is part of the Welcome Back Kelly Santer weekend in Ames.
Kelly, this
right?
has nothing to do with
Coach, let me just – well, that's – they told us, Kelly, as part, I hadn't even had a chance to discuss the details with you yet, but they made sure that you were going to have to make the trip with us on that. That's part of the contract. Otherwise, it's null and void. So,
and I guarantee you, Kelly won't be paying a dime for that.
Don't encourage. Let me just warn you, Coach. Don't encourage that free stuff with Kelly, because you'll come home from work and he'll be standing in your driveway.
That's okay. That's all right.
And he'll somehow find a way to wear some coach's shirts or something like that.
Hey, Coach. Before we let you go, I want to say this about Iowa State. I had a great opportunity to spend some time with Tim Floyd a couple weeks ago, former coach at Iowa State. He had high praise for you. He thinks the world of you, and he just was very, very complimentary of you, Coach.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, Coach Floyd is someone that I look up to, and, you know, he's a Mississippi guy. You know, he graduated. A lot of people don't realize he's from Hattiesburg.
Right.
And graduated from Oak Grove, you know. Yeah. Right. But you know, and nationally, I mean, there was a time when Coach was still actively coaching before he retired. I mean, he was the guy, you know, and so to hear someone to you to pass that on, that Coach said something nice, really, really makes my day. I hope Coach is listening. Coach, I appreciate that.
All right, Coach. We sure appreciate you being on the show as always, and we'll be watching Saturday. Good luck.
Same here. Y'all help pull us through. Saturday's a big one for us.
All right, Coach Jay Ladner, everybody. Men's basketball coach at Southern Miss. No, Kelly, you're not going to get the gopher free to Iowa State. Temper your expectations now.
I've got a lot of pull at Iowa State.
I'm sure you do. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank Coach Jay Ladner for joining us, Super Talk Eagle Hour. Today, breaking a little news, playing Kelly's alma mater next year, Iowa State. That's not like playing them in baseball or football, is it, Kelly? It's pretty serious when you take them on in basketball.
Well, what would be a really big headline is if we played them in baseball, because Iowa State doesn't have a baseball team. One of the few Division I teams that doesn't have a baseball team.
Why?
It's a really weird story. Dan McCarney, when he was
We really don't care. Let's move on.
I'm going to give you a 15-second answer. Dan McCarney was the football coach. They had a great year, and they had to give all these coaches, the football coaches, bonuses. So they decided, the way that we'll do that is we'll just shut down our baseball program.
And that's kind of surprising, because the Big 12 in baseball, you know, they got decent. Baylor, TCU.
Decent. Yeah, pretty decent. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't care. Let's move on. Dan.
We'll be gutting that Baylor team. What day is that?
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. Okay, so prepare yourselves. So what are they, Kelly? The what?
The Boilers. With Baylor Bears, Purdue Baylor. Boilermakers, and Oregon State Beavers.
Boilermakers a union worker?
Oh, it's a cocktail.
No, it's not. That's not what they're naming the team after.
A Boilermaker is a cocktail.
It has to do with the train, like when you're...
Yeah, the guy that puts the coal in
the... That's a Boilermaker.
Okay, there we go.
Because they have the big train. That's like their mascot.
A drink. Can you understand?
But it is a drink.
By the way, Missy Bilderback was calling him during Jay Ladner's segment.
A lot of people called me after some of the things he said yesterday, so I could identify.
He also told Jay that he asked Jay if Iowa State is coming to Hattiesburg.
And Jay laughed.
And Jay laughed at me.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
Right after Duke is coming here.
Yeah, and then Kentucky. Eagle Tire West, former Southern Miss baseball star Matt Warren invites you to see him and his staff right there, Eagle Tire West. They sell Goodyear tires, full-service auto and truck service. They're great guys. They're next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West. That's a family-owned business since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, Goodyear tires, full-service, big Southern Miss supporters. As is MCS Home Center, where you'll find home repair, home remodeling, home construction, and peepers. Everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden, or your eyesight, if you're old like Kelly, is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. local folks eager to help. Kelly, did you notice that in the male, you know, the peepers out there,
mm-hmm.
the men's, they're no pink. They're no pink. So when you bought the pink glasses, you knew you were buying women's glasses.
No, they had pink. They were just sold out, Bob. You just
they don't have pink peepers for men, Kelly.
Okay,
come on.
All right.
All right, Lady Eagle basketball didn't play a very good team last night, but played very well and blew out Louisiana, Dima.
Yeah, yeah, 83-61 for the women over the Cajuns. Carly Keach, 26 points. Melanie Thames with 13. Ja'Kayla Johnson with just 11. So the fact they won by 20 and she only had 11 points, you have to feel pretty good about that. You know, guys, when you look at the standings, Southern Miss right now sixth in the standings, which is right what I said on whatever day it was this week. They all run together eventually. You know, about these men's and women's potentially backdooring themselves into that top six seed that we've talked about so much. The women are in that moment right now at the sixth seed. So there's four games separating them and the five seed, and they're tied with Texas State for that sixth seed, but they have the tiebreaker. So when you look at the upcoming games for the Lady Eagles, Troy on Saturday, who's one of the best teams in the league at 22-5, so that'll be tough, and it's on the road.
Yeah.
But next week, at South Alabama, isn't great, 9-17. You feel like you have a chance to get a win there. And then at Louisiana Monroe, who granted beat Southern Miss women's basketball pretty good a couple of weeks ago, but you would hope to at least split those two games. It maybe if you give up that Troy game, of course they're going to play hard and try to win it, but if you can maybe split the two away games next weekend, you have a real shot at getting in that top six seed, which is put you in the best position possible to potentially go on a run in the tournament.
And when Coach Bilderback was on the program the other day, she said 3 out of 4. If we can get 3 out of 4, which is certainly doable, that would put them in that spot where obviously they wouldn't get the bye into the semifinals, but it'd be a heck of a lot easier than if you were a 10 or 11 somewhere down in there where you're having to play an extra couple of games.
So plenty to play for in basketball still. The basketball season is not over.
And we kind of talked about this on the program the other day about the way it has shaken itself out. This basketball season for Southern Miss in particular is going to come down to a three-week stretch. This week, next week, and then the conference tournament. It's as simple as that. And the other teams have contributed to all that. Jay Ladner was just talking about parity, particularly on the men's side. Now, there are four women's teams that have kind of separated themselves from the rest of the pack. But again, it comes down to how well you're playing in these last 3 weeks. That's why I'm encouraged. You guys kind of laughed. I had some other people kind of laugh at me, too, about, you know, I was talking about that the men, they're playing better. Tavares is in the lineup. They beat Troy. They got Old Dominion, who they should take care of on Saturday. The last ones aren't going to be quite as easy, but the men are playing well. They're playing probably the best basketball they've played all year at the right time. So, again, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, when you look at the tournament, and just a reminder for everyone why we think that being in the top six is probably the best. The tournament spans from Tuesday to the next Monday, so it's a six-day tournament. So let's just say you're the 12 or 13 seed. You're playing on Tuesday. You would have to win
Tuesday,
seven
Wednesday,
games.
Thursday.
Yeah, 7 games to win the championship. If you're in the top six seed, you play on that Friday, right? So you would still have to win 4 games to win the tournament. But the reason I think that, to me, sounds better than being one of those top four seeds is you at least have a chance to play a game on that floor, you know, get acclimated. Because one thing that we saw last season with those top four seeds was their first game was on Saturday in the semifinals, and the team they were playing had played 2 or 3 games before that.
Right.
They were kind of conditioned on the floor. That does matter in basketball. So the women have put themselves in position, like Kelly said, if they could just, you know, they've already gotten one of those three that she was saying they needed to win 3 of the 4. They already got one. If they could get 2 more. And then the men, like you said, they should take care of Old Dominion, and you would just hope to split next week's games at South Alabama and Arkansas State. If you could just get one of those on the road, you'd feel pretty good about where you stand. Even if they don't hit that set top six seed, you would think they'd be within the top 8 in that scenario.
So, better than it looked at some point, and they have their best guy back, and so the men, so they have a chance.
Again, 3 weeks, just nose to the grindstone for the next 3 weeks, keep everybody healthy, and you never know what might happen.
Let me tell you a little quick story, guys, about Jay Ladner. I just didn't have time to bring it up. This is what's so unique about Southern Miss. So a friend of mine this weekend, who works for the university, is coaching a little boys' basketball team, like a peewee team.
Right.
So he reached out to Coach Ladner and asked him, could you just maybe sketch me out a couple of plays, offensive plays that I could teach these guys, you know, where they could be effective against, you know, man-to-man defense, right? Pretty good thing. Well, guess who shows up at the little boys' practice? Takes over the practice.
In person.
Teaches the kids the plays. And my friend said by the end of practice, these kids, of course, they're very excited. They're running plays like crazy. And that was Jay Ladner. And I say that because that, again, is a unique aspect of Southern Miss. Let's talk about Iowa State for a minute because they're going to play them. Do you think the Iowa State coach is going to show up at a peewee basketball practice and teach kids how to run plays?
Not without highway patrol protection.
Correct.
Probably.
I mean, I think it speaks to Jay Ladner, and I think it speaks to coaches in general at this university who are so involved in the community and so willing to reach out into the community and do good things.
Oh, he said he wanted to expand their recruiting footprint, so go to the third graders and fourth graders.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's a future commitment.
I saw Blake Anderson yesterday. I was headed to talk to Oz and saw him, you know, walking, doing his a walk or whatever he was doing, waving at the students on campus. It was just nice to see. I don't think I ever saw Charles Huff do that, you know, but right. It was nice to see him.
Now, when we had Oz on the show Monday, and then Monday afternoon I saw him at practice, he was in a great mood. I'm going to guess was the same yesterday.
Yeah, he was in a pretty good mood yesterday, of course. You know, I think they were frustrated with their performance against Southeastern Louisiana on Tuesday night, even though they won, wanted some better plate discipline, things like that. Not frustrated in that pitching staff, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
But, yeah, they're excited. I think they're excited to get out there to Round Rock this weekend and play three pretty good teams. You know, they got Purdue, of course, first, and then, you know, really, really good team in Oregon State. And, you know, just kind of diving into them to prepare for my other show that I do. You know, they have probably the best pitching rotation in the country, much better than UC Santa Barbara, which is something. Mm-hmm. And their back end arms are something else. Southern Miss should probably see a left-hander on Saturday and throws in the 92-94 range. And we'll talk about that all on the Friday show, hopefully. I think Glenn Dyer is going to join us for that one. So we can obviously break that down later.
No question, but the Golden Eagles can go out there and compete. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Southern Miss is a great team in their own right. And, you know, you expect them to be able to compete with Oregon State and, you know, beat them on every other game or whatever it would be.
Hey, I hope you enjoy the show. And if you can't catch the show, don't forget about our podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Mo Babe and Yay Company, Kelly, they're a great sponsor. It'd be a good place to hang out a little bit over the weekend.
I've been known to do that a time or two.
I have myself. I got to admit it. I like some hot beignets and good coffees, and that's exactly what you find down there, right?
A lot of the students will avail right across the street when they're doing some study in study groups. It's a great place to meet some students, too, and just talk and see what's on their mind, you know?
Well, as we've already reported, Southern Miss is getting ready to play Old Dominion. Ted Alexander does their play-by-play, and we'll get the breakdown on the Monarchs basketball team when we come back.
Southern Miss to the top.
And welcome back to the show. DBAT sponsoring the third segment of the Eagle Hour every day on Hardy Street. State-of-the-art baseball, softball training, adult training for any sport, beautiful facility, great pro shop. Lots of reasons to see the guys down at DBAT. And our good buddies at Forest Healthcare remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you're the most important player. So be sure you get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, and be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Well, as we talked about in the first segment, Old Dominion coming to town this weekend to take on the men's basketball team in what should be an exciting matchup. Ted Alexander is no stranger to the Eagle Hour. He is the play-by-play voice of the Monarchs. And we're always glad to have him on the show. All right, now, Ted, our coach was saying that ODU's record is misleading, been a lot of close games. You guys got a big, tough seven-footer in the middle, and that it will be anything but easy. Kind of recap the ODU season for us, Ted.
Well, the season's been up and down, a lack of consistency early, not a lot of defense early, but then they've started to figure it out. And in this transfer portal era that we're all bathing in right now, you have to find some chemistry, and those that find it earlier rather than later have the best chance of success. And the Monarchs have been trying to figure it out, and in the last couple of games they kind of have. And now we're just scrambling for the best seed possible, realizing that 7 wins in 7 days is a tall order.
I think that's what scares Coach Ladner the most. Or let me say that he respects about your team is that what he worries about with your team is that you guys are starting to pull it together at this time. You won your last one, and you're coming into Reed Green on Saturday playing pretty well. What the way that you guys are playing now, Ted, the strengths in particular, and if Southern Miss is going to win, how will they beat Old Dominion?
Well, the Monarchs have been playing much better defense recently. And they've been playing basketball recently. They were one-on-one folks for the first part of the season where they didn't understand the fact that the extra pass might get to a better shot. They've learned that a little bit, and they're using that in practice now a little bit more, practice in terms of their philosophy. And they're having a bunch of guys that are contributing. And Cal Swanton Roger, the seven-footer in the middle, is a guy that's, you know, it's that kind of student-athlete that you see working hard all the time, and it's wonderful to see him get some of the fruits of the labor. And if the Golden Eagles are going to win, what they're going to do is get Swanton Roger into foul trouble, and they're going to make the Monarchs go small, and they're going to just let Weeks keep shooting shots like he's been shooting all year, and he's lighting it up.
Yeah, the Eagle team is completely different, I think, with Isaac Tavares in the lineup, and he's back in right at the right time as they head down the stretch. We've kind of talked here, Ted, that really the season, because of what has happened, it's really condensed now to a micro season of 2 or 3 weeks. This is still almost anybody's ball game on the men's side.
Well, the thing that's nuts, and let's look at Pensacola for a second. Last year, the Monarchs got hot in Pensacola, won 3 games in a row in Pensacola in a row. And what did that do? That got them, I believe, to the quarterfinals or the round before the quarterfinals. If you aren't in the top 6 or 8, you've got a real tall task ahead of you. And you can win 3 games in a row and be rolling and playing your best basketball of the year, but you still got 3 or 4 more games to go. And that's just really difficult.
Ted, this is Dima Mixon. You hit the nail on the head right there, and I think that's the reason why the Sun Belt did it right, where, you know, they don't – a couple of years ago when Southern Miss was the 1 seed and they played Alabama as the 8 seed and South Alabama, you know, beat them, you know, it's just kind of not fair to that 1 seed, so they would go way under the tournament. But I've always said that the sweet spot was that 6th, you know, 4 through 6 seed. That way you can play a game in the tournament, kind of get acclimated, and maybe hit that hot streak more than the top 4 seeds.
I think that's a great point right there. And let's face it, you know, we aren't used to playing, you know, 3 games in 3 days, 4 games in 4 days. And you're thinking about 7 games in 7 days, that would be a miracle run. And that's why, you know, I understand the incentive to add meaning to the regular season, totally understand that, and it's deserving. But, boy, when you've got a league like the Sun Belt where everybody's knocking each other off and it's a dogfight and a rock-throwing contest every time out, it makes for some interesting lead-up contests like this one Saturday.
You talked about this era that we live in that is the transfer portal, Ted. And I heard another athletic director talk about this, not Southern Miss's, but and he said it's really difficult now to judge how good a basketball coach really is when he's having to change his personnel every year. If you've got a guy that's had a team for the same guys for 3 or 4 years, they're senior loaded, and they have a terrible season, that might mean that you don't have a very good coach. But I think it's a great question that I wanted to ask you. How can you judge any coach's ability to coach, or really how good they are, when they're having to change their teams, almost the whole team, every year?
Well, it's a wonderful topic, and the answer is the way of evaluation will be evolving, because it's not only X's and O's, can you get the right play called at crunch time, it's also, can you scout players? Can you scout players that are already at the college level? What's your checkbook look like? Do you know how to spend your money efficiently? Do you know how to spend the money on people that will still be willing to put in the work? I was talking to a coach, I don't know, a couple months ago, and he said one of the interesting things about this day and age is the fact that here it is, say, January 31st, and you've lost a tough ball game, and you're really needing to reflect on the performance that led to the defeat. But a lot of these guys are just saying, hey, February 1st, I got a deposit coming in, a direct deposit into my account, whether I win, lose, or draw. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the facts of 2026.
You know, I think that's so right. And I think it's going to go, the evaluation of coaches is going to go broader, even to all the other sports, like not just basketball. Because, for example, like what Kurt Cignetti did at Indiana this year, where he won the national championship. Are people going to expect that next year? I mean, he still has to replace, I know, a lot of parts of that team. You know, I wonder how much the evaluation of head coaches is going to change, along with how much football, basketball, baseball has all changed in just the span of 3 or 4 years, Kelly. It's not even just been, you know, over the span of 10 years. Like, this has been a lot of change in just 3 or 4 years. Yes, Ted?
Oh, no doubt about it. And you don't think that what Cignetti did, and he did a great job, and of course, we're familiar with him in the Sun Belt. The big boys aren't sitting there going, well, if little old Indiana can do it in 2 years, you've got 2 years to get it done
right
here. Good luck. Here's the bag of cash. Make it happen. Well, the bag of cash isn't the only secret sauce here. It's knowing how to get the money to the right people, and the right people for your system, and the right system for your people and your institution. It's a crapshoot, and I think Cignetti's raised the bar for everybody and put a lot of pressure on everybody such as Lane Kiffin and all those in the SEC and the Big Ten who now are on watch because he got it done in 2 years at tiny old Indiana.
Right.
Now what are you going to do with a purebred school such as fill in the blank?
Ted Alexander, the voice of the Old Dominion Monarchs, they come to town Saturday to take on the Golden Eagles. Let's talk more about this basketball game, Ted. Generally speaking, how has ODU played on the road this year?
Yeah. You know, again, this is a team you don't know what you're going to get. It's the consistency that has been lacking. They can go out there and take Troy, who was at the top of the lead at the time, to double overtime at home before falling, and that's blowing the front end of a couple of 1-1s at home that would have led to victory. It's a team that blew a 17-point lead to Marshall at home and lost. It's a team that blew a 19-point lead at James Madison and lost. It's a team that beat App State in 1 out of 2, beat Coastal Carolina in 1 out of 2. The only really dumpster fire so far has been at Texas State, where the Bobcats just ran all over us. They can play with anybody. They can play with anybody, but they also can or have shown the propensity to fall apart against anybody.
So what's if you think the fan base, I'm asking you to kind of go into the fan base's thinking caps here. If they had to give the ODU basketball season a grade based on the expectations, what do you think the general fan would say?
C minus, D plus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So obviously,
because I think, you know, all fans, it's short for fanatics. So all fans, including myself, we're all lunatics. All right, because we all have these expectations, especially when you are talking about the portal and you're hearing all offseason long that these guys are great and this is good and blah, 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 blah. You have no idea how they're going to play together as a team. You know, you have no idea how the opponents are going to be playing together as teams. So the preseason polls and all that stuff are worth the paper they're printed on. And so the expectations are always going to outgrow performance, or more often than not, and that's okay. That's okay, but I think they're a little bit unrealistic when you have no idea what you have year to year.
So, who ultimately wins the Sun Belt Basketball Conference Tournament?
And you're okay to just, you know, get on your phone and just hit, you know, who is it team, or you know, just random generator yeah. team or something.
Who wins on the
Let's
men's
spin,
side?
Spin the magic wheel, right?
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
it's whoever, you know. It's the other thing is, you know, from game to game, are you going to get a tight whistle? Are you going to get a lenient whistle?
Yeah.
Are you going to get this and that? Is somebody going to feel like playing that day? I think we see more and more student-athletes that sometimes are going to check out. For whatever reason, we have no idea. You know, you can't hard coach anymore. You can't get in someone's face anymore. Blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and so I think that could be a determiner down in Pensacola.
Well, that's what's going to make it fun. It should be a wide open field, and we've still got some regular season games to play before then. But as always, Ted, we appreciate your insight and expertise, and safe travels.
Love coming down to Hattiesburg. Look forward to getting to the Reed Green on Saturday.
Ted Alexander, the voice of the ODU Monarchs, and we'll have our Southern Miss news and notes after these commercial messages.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Well, thank Ted Alexander from Old Dominion University for joining us. Monarchs in town this Saturday, 2 p.m. tip for that ball game. So make sure you're there and support the Golden Eagles. All right, Demon, news and notes.
Yeah, let's talk softball for a second. Southern Miss softball 6-6 on the season so far. They played on Tuesday night and lost to McNeese at home 6-8. They head to Louisiana Tech this weekend for a three-game series out there in Ruston, Louisiana. They obviously they already played Louisiana Tech in that first weekend tournament. That game was decided in the eighth inning. It was tied. You know, it went to extra innings, and then Louisiana Tech put a five spot on the Golden Eagles there in the top of the eighth inning. So Southern Miss can battle with this team, and hopefully they could get a game or two out there at Louisiana Tech before coming or heading to Nichols in Thibodaux, Louisiana, next Wednesday for the midweek, and then they will host the Hub City Classic the following weekend in softball. So softball girls, you know, 6-6 on the early season, of course, 500, you know, but they've lost two in a row, Kelly.
If you missed the beginning of the program, Jay Ladner was on, and he announced that the Golden Eagles have reached a one-year contract deal with Iowa State, which is the Cyclones are in the top five now in the country under Coach T.J. Otzelberger. They will travel to Ames toward the beginning of this next basketball season. And so to repeat that news, and we kind of joked about, was Iowa State going to come here? All right, so we can forget Iowa State. Let's just say it was Iowa State or Duke or Kansas. And you could say, well, you could come and play us in Biloxi or
the Smoothie King Center, New Orleans.
Yeah, wherever, any of those places. It is my contention, and I wanted to get your guys' feedback. I don't care how good another team that Southern Miss would play at one of these neutral sites. It could be the number one team in the country, the very best college basketball team ever assembled, and it is my contention that the facility would not come close to selling out. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the part of that is the interest in the sport, right? I don't necessarily think it's Southern Miss fans.
Right,
you know,
right.
I just think it's the interest in the sport. For example, Purdue baseball. Southern Miss baseball is playing Purdue tomorrow afternoon, right? Like, Purdue fans don't care about their baseball team in February. Purdue's worried about their top 10 basketball team right now,
right?
You know, playing whoever they're playing the next week. But Southern Miss fans right now, all in on baseball. Every Southern Miss fan is going to be watching Southern Miss and Purdue tomorrow afternoon. So I think it's just a thing of interest level in the sport that's going on at the time. And right now, unfortunately for the basketball, in this crossover season, Southern Miss fans enjoy baseball more, and I don't think that should be the case. I'm not advocating for that, but I think that's just the honest view of it.
But even let's just put the shoe on the other foot. If it was Iowa State coming to Biloxi in the early part of the season when baseball wasn't being played, I still don't think there'd be a whole lot of people there. And I think that
then you'd have football in that scenario too.
Well, that's true.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate for just a minute and point out to you it was just 3 years ago when the Golden Eagles were playing really well and Louisiana came here and the you know, the first place was on the line, man. The place was packed. The place was electric. And that was just a couple years ago.
Yes. I will say that Southern Miss was really good, though. So the interest level for them was higher than what Kelly is saying, for example, if they played the first weekend of the year against Iowa State. Mm-hmm. But,
and there was
but you're right.
There was a lot on the line.
Sure. For example, if Southern Miss was like 21-3 right now, and then they were hosting Old Dominion, who was 19-4, I think there would be a butt ton of people.
Even though it's baseball season, you think that?
Yes. Okay. Well, they already showed they did. Like Bob's saying, that was a February game, if I remember correctly, right, against mm-hmm. Louisiana.
And see, basketball, to me, is just kind of a head-scratcher, too. But and even on the women's side, like the other two schools up north in that other conference, they have huge crowds for their women's team. Now, their women's teams are really good. I'm not taking that away from them. But I'm just saying, down in this part of the state, women's basketball just doesn't seem to be as popular. Is it all about winning? I just throw that out there.
I think it's a mixture of both.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think that's right. And traditionally, in all honesty, traditionally basketball has not had the popularity of football, obviously, in the South. But then some schools like this one, baseball. I mean, baseball is dominant in a lot of schools. I would bet you that there's more interest right now at Coastal Carolina in their baseball team than their basketball team.
Sure. And you would not say the same about, like, northern teams such as Purdue,
no,
you know, that Southern Miss is playing.
The opposite.
Or Iowa State, who doesn't even have a baseball
that's
team.
That's right.
Right? So, you know, that all the funds that would be going into baseball for them is going into their basketball team.
That's a really good point right there. Aren't you ashamed that your alma mater doesn't have a baseball
team? Yeah, it's kind
America's
of
America's sport.
And now, when
that is kind of weird.
When
actually,
Iowa State was in the Big 8 and the Big 12 and they had a baseball team, we were perennially the doormat. I mean, they were in last place every year, and I think that probably, you know, one of the furthest teams north in that conference. I mean, you were still practicing in snow and cold when it came April, mm-hmm. so it was definitely a deck stacked against them. But yeah, you'd think a school with that kind of money would have a baseball program, but you got the Title IX issues there too. Then if you add baseball, then you got to add more.
Do women. They have a softball program?
They do have a softball program, yes.
I would like to shout out Mississippi State for beating Alcorn State last night when Alcorn State's pitcher was throwing 60 miles an hour.
Those mighty Bulldogs. Fourth-ranked mighty Bulldogs.
What was the final score in that game, dare I ask?
58-3.
Oh, no, it was not 58. No, it
wasn't 58. We get a shot at old Bully here in a couple weeks, don't we?
Yes, sir.
You're looking forward to that. All right, that wraps up the show today. Tomorrow on the show, Glenn Dyer, Josh Ock, Dre Barrett. We'll be talking baseball as the Golden Eagles get ready to take on Purdue. And the Red, is it the Round Rock Classic out in Texas. More tomorrow. Stay with us. Thank you for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.